Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I am of course William Mamo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, Will. How's it going?
I'm all right. I'm back and I'm better than ever. Now I've been these last couple of weeks. I wasn't able to do the show because I was battling a bunch of illnesses: cold, flu, you name it. My voice is a little sore, a little bit, but you know. And, you know, facing some other stuff, but, you know, I'm going to soldier on and, you know, get to the show. So I want to thank you guys for listening to this latest episode of Sports Urban Legend. I'm going to talk about various topics, the recent passing, passing of Muhammad Ali, the legendary boxer. We'll talk about that. We'll give our preview of the Roots Marathon with a remake that just aired this past week. Talk about the NBA Finals, the current state of Mets and the Yankees, Stanley Cup, NFL, WWE as the draft approaches. And of course, most importantly, you guys can give us a call, talk about any of these topics and more. And of course, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to share your thoughts on any of these topics and more. And I just want to thank you guys, and ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this latest episode. Unfortunately, you know, we got to start off the show with some, you know, sad news. And, of course, we all know that the legendary boxer Muhammad Ali, known for his impressive skills, you know, in the ring, coupled with his fast and trash-talking ways, you know, he passed away. The man, famously known for being a three-time world champion, had epic bouts with legendary boxers such as Joe Frazier, Sonny Liston, George Foreman, and the list goes on and on. And he'll sorely be missed. And this guy was an iconic figure. You know, he used his celebrity to bring awareness to a lot of social issues like race, war, yeah, you name it. He was very outspoken about it. You know, he wasn't he didn't pull back any punches when he when it came to those issues. You know, he famously opposed the Vietnam War, and as a result, he refused to fight in the war because he felt you know, his Muslim faith was against you know, fighting in a war that he felt was unjust. And you know, another factor to that, it was the racial factor was, of course, you know, the in America, you know, America was going through the civil rights movement. So, you know, he felt, you know, as a black man, you know, in America at that time, he felt disenfranchised, and he didn't feel like he should fight in a war against the Viet Cong, as he said, you know, because they never called him the N-word. So he felt like it wasn't his fight to attack them, because, you know, he suffered, you know, some injustices in his own country. Even highlighted when he won the Olympic gold medal in 1960, and he came home for a hero's welcome, but then he found out that there was still segregation, and infamously, the reports claim that he threw his Olympic medal into the river or in the water somewhere. Some people dispute that claim. Some people say he misplaced the medal, but fortunately for him, when he light up the torch in 96, he got an honorary medal, you know, for his contribution to the sport of boxing and basically being the iconic person that he was. And after his legendary boxing career, he basically was battling, you know, throughout his whole career, he fought a lot of formidable opponents, as I mentioned earlier in this show. But you know, he faced another opponent in his during his retirement, and unfortunately, that was Parkinson's disease, which, you know, a very serious disease which caused him to shake. And he used his celebrity, you know, not to make money, but to instead bring awareness to this disease that plagues a lot of people, including, you know, Michael J. Fox, among others. So, you know, he used his celebrity to bring awareness to this disease. And, you know, this guy, he was a entertainer like no one else. You know, he was a growing up, he was a huge wrestling fan. So as a result, you know, he stole while he you know he added the trash talking element to his game. Reportedly, he you know he got it from Gorgeous George, who was a villain in the 1950s, I believe. You know, in the pro wrestling. So, you know, he got that ability to trash talk and get the paying customers to come to see him lose or as you know, commonly his fans to support him. But you know, Muhammad Ali was a very divisive, you know, he was a very outspoken individual. So as a result, you know, some people, you know, didn't agree with his views, especially during that time, because, you know, he trash talked and he backed it up, and some people didn't like his style, and some did. You know, some people viewed him as a black hero who wasn't afraid to tackle any issues, and you know, even spoke about race. And you know, he after he won his championship bout, you know, against Liston, he changed his name to you know, Muhammad Ali. You know, so basically, you know, it was, you know, shocking at that time when he joined Nation of Islam. And then shortly after that, you know, there were other legendary black, you know, athletes and celebrities who would join that group as well, like Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, formerly known as Lew Alcindor, during his UCLA days in college basketball, and with the Milwaukee Bucks before he, you know, changed his name later on. And those guys, you know, they spoke about racial issues. Obviously, some people, you know, didn't like the message, but you know, they spoke about racial issues that, you know, affected the country. You could even say maybe even to this day. But you know, afterwards, you know, Muhammad Ali, he separated himself from that group, and you know, he you know, as a result, you know, he got fanfare from people all over the world, you know, and you know, a lot of people are, you know, mourning his loss, you know, because there will never be another man like Muhammad Ali, and he'll definitely be missed.
Yeah, man, we've lost an icon, a sports hero, legend, greatest boxer of all time. I mean, this guy, he truly did float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I mean, this guy had, you know, great footwork in the ring and, you know, great flexibility as far as, you know, not allowing fighters to corner him into the ropes and to hit him. You know, he had great head movement, great jab, and great punching power as well. And, you know, guys became the first three-time champions, you know, in boxing. And, you know, like you were saying, you know, he was known for his trash-talking and his cockiness. But that's what made him Muhammad Ali, you know. That's what we remember the most about him, his cockiness and trash-talking. But at the end of the day, he backed that up. You know, everything that he said, he backed it up in the ring. Let me show you how great he was.
Yeah.
And we lost a great fighter and a great man.
Yeah, I mean, there have been previous boxers in the past, black boxers prior to him, like Jack Johnson, you know, who was the first ever black boxer. But, you know, he was, you know, very, you know, brash. And not to mention, during that time, he was, you know, a black man in the 1910s. So, either way, he was very antagonistic to the crowds, which, you know, obviously the crowd was antagonistic towards him too. So he definitely, Jack Johnson, that's what created the whole Great White Hope. Basically, the same element that Gorgeous George and Buddy Rogers and Ric Flair and, of course, Muhammad Ali implemented was basically being like the villain, people pay their hard-earned money to see you lose, and basically, because you're that good, a lot of times the haters are gonna go home, not happy to see you lose. And then afterwards, you had Joe Louis, who fought in the 1930s, 1940s. He became like the first black star, that crossed over, to mainstream media. Along with Jesse Owens, who was, a track and field star who won the 1936 Olympics. But those were, obviously individual sports. And then later on, a decade later, 1947, you had Jackie Robinson being the first black teammate on any sport. And obviously it was baseball. So, the first black guy to break the color barrier. So, there goes some history with that. But, Muhammad Ali, he's like right up there with all those men.
Yeah,
some
definitely.
Some people even say he surpassed them because of his on the field stuff and causes that he, he brought to the table.
Yeah, definitely. He'll be missed.
Yeah, he'll definitely be missed. But moving along, but before we get to that, we move along. We definitely want to offer, our sincere condolences to the Ali family for, not only losing a legend, but losing a father, a grandfather, a husband, this guy, he only lived 74 years, but he did a lot of stuff in that time. So,
yeah. Yep.
Again, my sincere condolences, arguably the greatest boxer of all time,
No doubt.
So, switching gears, staying with the issue of race, this week, History Channel gave the remake of the iconic Roots miniseries from the 1970s. And basically, they remade it into a four-part miniseries, and they modernized it. Basically, my take was, originally when they first announced they were going to make a Roots remake, I was like, why are they making a remake? I mean, Hollywood can't make anything original anymore because they're rebooting all these stuff. The list goes on and on with all the remakes and reboots that they've had. Rush Hour, Lethal Weapon, it just keeps going on and on. It's too numerous for me to even mention MacGyver and all these others. I just can't, there's too many, but, I hate remakes, because remakes, 99.999% of the time, they're never as good as the original. So that's why I always feel like it's just a cash-in ploy to make money, off the success of the original. However, this four-part miniseries was very different. One, the guy who created it, who was behind it, was the son of the original guy who produced the original movie in the 70s. And also, LeVar Burton, who was the original Kunta Kinte, he was executive producer on this, on this project. So it wasn't just anybody who just wanted to cash in. These people know firsthand the legacy of what Roots did to American culture, because this was the first time that America got to see the horrors of slavery.
Yep.
Obviously, no movie, or show, miniseries, even though this miniseries, the newer miniseries, got as close and real as you could be. But, I mean, just the horrors alone is just a pale in comparison of what, you know, what people had to go through, you know.
Yeah.
For centuries, you know, because of the, you know, color of their skin. But, oh, what were you going to say? I apologize.
No, yeah, like you said, I mean, it's, you know, this movie pretty much, you know, it pretty much showed you, you know, what slaves had to endure and go through during that time. And, you know, it's this movie, this remake of the original was more, I found it more gruesome, you know. There's more blood, more violence in it. But, you know, it stayed true to the history of slavery. You know, that's what slavery was about. And this movie showed you that. And I like how, you know, like I was saying earlier, how this movie, you know, it stayed with the book as far as, you know, having Charlie, Chicken George, I should say, be biracial, because he was mixed, you know, with his mother being black and his father being Tom, was it?
Tom Lee, right?
Yeah, who was the slave owner, and he doesn't realize Tom is his father until years later when he's grown up.
Yeah.
And also the fact that they use horses for the what's the name of the warriors?
Mandinka
warriors. Yeah, in the original they didn't have that, so I like that. But yeah, I mean it was a good remake. You know, they definitely stayed. They didn't really change much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they stayed true to the book and the original series. And you know, there's an all-star cast, as you were saying. You know, it was very entertaining to watch. I would definitely recommend it to anyone who saw the original to see this new one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely one of the better remakes.
Yes, absolutely. In my opinion, I think this is the best remake ever, you know, of any show, obviously of miniseries by far. But they paid respect to the original. They didn't water it down. They expanded on it. I mean, Alex Haley, you know, this story, you know, Roots is based upon, you know, his ancestors, you know, life stories that he found out about. And he wrote a book about it that became a bestseller. And then as a result, you know, he made the iconic miniseries, which was all-star cast. The list is endless. I mean, you had Maya Angelou, Louis Gossett Jr., LeVar Burton, who was unknown at the time. So many off the top of my head, I can't even think.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically they expanded upon stuff that they found out that even Alex Haley didn't know at the time about, like the size of the city. I forgot the name of Lufomi. I can't remember the name. It was with an L. It was actually bigger than he knew at the time. So that's why in the movie it looks smaller than it was. So they were able to expand. They found out more information that even Alex Haley didn't know at the time, and they were able to expand upon the movie. So, I mean, kudos to them. And I recommend everybody to see both versions, you know,
yeah,
so you can see the differences and basically, you know, give your appreciation about, I mean, you know, the time we're living in isn't perfect, but at least we made some steps of progress to try to make the world a better place.
Yeah, definitely.
But we still got ways to go, but, you know, it's a good thing, you know, we've improved, you know. But so switching gears, let's talk a little NBA. You got the Cavaliers. Cavaliers won the first game. No, not the first game. What I'm talking about, the Warriors won the first game. They blew out the Cavaliers. Cavaliers are going to try to even up this series, but I'm thinking this series is going to go 6 games, and the Warriors are going to pull this one out and defend their title, successfully defend their title back-to-back years.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think after, I mean, they won game one on Friday, Thursday, I should say, and Klay and Steph Curry didn't even play that well. You know, and their bench, you know, pretty much, you know, scored, you know, their bench outscored Cleveland's bench by like 30 or 40 points or something like that. It was a ridiculous number. What's his face went off? Livingston had like 25 mm-hmm. points. You know, they couldn't stop him. And Barbosa played well. You know, they have a deep bench, and when this team is shooting three pointers and when they're running, you know, the fast break, it's tough to stop them. They score points in bunches, and I don't know if Cleveland is going to be able to win this series, man. I think it's going to be tough. But I see Golden State winning it in six as well.
Absolutely. And on the hockey side, they're playing in the – it's the Penguins – I'm trying to remember what the other – what does the other team excuse me? It's Penguins – versus
Sharks.
Right, yes, the Sharks, the San Jose Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
And last I saw they were the Penguins were up 2-0, but the third game might have I think by now the third game might have ended. Because I saw it was last time I saw it was 2-2. So would you like to find out what's the
yeah.
final score of that game?
I'm looking it up right now. Let me see.
Because right now it
looks like
Sharks
won 3-2 in overtime.
So there you go. The Penguins, Penguins currently lead the series 2-1.
Sharks lead the series 2-1.
Sharks.
No. You're right. Yeah, Penguins. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Cause Sharks just finally won this game on Saturday night.
Right.
But yeah, now Sharks are going to try to even up the series in this best of seven series.
Yep.
Which I think the Pens are going to win. But shifting gears, we'll talk about the Mets quickly. Basically, the Mets, they've won two in a row in Miami. They're gonna have Matt Harvey try to win this, you know, win the series, you know, sweep the series, as a matter of fact. But he's going to be facing a very formidable opponent in Jose Fernandez. And Bartolo Colon, I mean, he pitched the second game of the series. You know, he got a no decision because the Mets were able to score late, capped off by Matt Reynolds hitting his first, career RBI, knocking him his first career RBI. Diaza, he knocked in a two-run single. It was a two-run double, which was ground rule double, which basically put the insurance runs for the Mets. Familia got another save. I believe it was his 18th. Then Friday night, Syndergaard was his old form, dominant. He got the victory. And back to Mariah Harvey, who's trying to win this series. His last start, he had a dominant performance. He went seven innings. I think he might have struck out 10. So he went back to his old form. I think this was Monday night, if my memory serves me right. But, you know, this is the big test. Can he do it back-to-back games? Because he needs to regain his form. You know, he's been anything but Matt Harvey this year. I mean, he's been consistently bad. He hasn't even been inconsistent. He's just been consistently bad. So in order for the Mets to, you know, potentially win a championship, you know, they need Matt Harvey to bounce back. In addition to all the injuries they have, David Wright, he has an injury in his neck, a herniated disc. He's on the DL. He's going to be out for, 6 to 8 weeks. Then you've got Lucas Duda, who has a bad back. He's on the DL for like 6 to 8 weeks as well. As a result, Mets acquired James Loney, the veteran first baseman. And, you know, he hit his first career home run as a Met, his 100th career home run overall on Friday night. He also knocked in a run on Saturday. So he's making his presence felt a little bit these last couple of games. But basically, the Mets offense is struggling. They have their, you know, some of their top guys hurt. A couple of that with Cespedes, who got scratched out of the game on Saturday night. So, yeah, they're big boppers, man. They're being hurt. And, you know, as a result, their offense is struggling right now. But luckily, their pitching has been well for the most part. Familia bounced back from his – he did allow a run today, but other than that, he's bounced back from his two non-save situations where he pitched horribly. I think it was on Saturday and obviously Sunday night, which I'm pretty sure you're familiar with that.
Yep. La Familia.
Yes, you're very familiar with that. But, you know, looks like he's bounced back. And basically, Mets are going to, you know, are going to probably look for some third base options, you know, with Wright being hurt right now. But shifting gears, Yankees, what's your thoughts on the Yankees? Are they performing?
Well, they're trying to catch up to Boston and Baltimore right now. Boston currently holds the is sitting atop the AL East right now with a 33-23 record. Yankees are like 6.5 games behind, and they're about 5.5 games behind the Baltimore Orioles. Yankees have, you know, they've been I don't know what's wrong with the Yankees. You know, they win some, then they lose some, and they've been on a losing streak recently. They did finally win today, 8-6, by scored 4 runs in the 4th inning, led by RBI doubles by Starlin Castro and Rob Refsnyder. So they managed to win today, but last night they lost 6-5. You know, Orioles hit a season-high 7 home runs. Orioles scored 6 runs after scoring a season-high 7 home runs. So right now, you know, it's tied 1-1, the series. They go into the rubber game tomorrow. Hopefully Yankees can win that. But Yankees, man, they got to start winning these games and then losing these games. I mean, you got to be more consistent. I'm saying this all season long. You know, they're 26-29. You know, they got to be consistent all season. They got to, you know, manage these winning streaks. You know, after winning like 7 games in a row, you can't go on a 5-game losing streak. You can't do that.
You're 100% right, man. They got to play catch-up. They can't be losing these games. Every game is crucial, you know.
Yeah.
You got to go on a huge winning streak just so you can gain ground.
Yeah.
Because when you lose, you could lose ground or stay. You're going to have to pray that the other team – like the Red Sox is going to, and the other teams above you are going to, are going to lose.
Yeah, exactly. So to be continued with the Yankees.
Oh, yeah. They're on the road to redemption. And speaking of another team, another beloved team in New York, on the road to redemption is the New York Knicks and their recent official signing of Jeff Hornacek as their new head coach. As you know, Jeff Hornacek, he had a very successful career playing with the Suns and most notably with the Utah Jazz, where he his team lost back-to-back titles to Michael Jordan's Bulls teams during the Phil Jackson era. And as a result, John Stockton and Karl Malone ended their, you know, illustrious careers, ringless. So he's very familiar with that. Then, you know, he became a head coach with the with the I'm trying to remember with the Phoenix Suns, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, his first year, he you know, he coached well. He won what 48 games. He finished second place in the NBA Coach of the Year voting to, of course, the legendary Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs. And then his last, what was his second and a half year with the team, he wasn't able to finish his third season with them, and they fired him after a slow start. And now he's going to try to bring some success to the New York Knicks and bring some elements of the triangle offense to his run-and-gun, fast-paced offense that he had with the Phoenix Suns. What's your thoughts on this acquisition?
You know, I think we have to wait and see, you know, how this signing turns out. I mean, obviously, Hornacek has more experience than Derek Fisher, who didn't have any experience when we hired him two seasons ago. You know, so he's had experience coaching the Phoenix Suns. I mean, he seems like a basketball guy who knows the game, who knows how to, you know, run practices and make in-game changes and decisions. So, you know, it's left to be seen what he does with the Knicks. You know, I think he could be a good coach. But then again, I've said that about every other coach that the Knicks have hired. So.
That's very true. But you know, he has some experience, you know, with some, you know, with some talented players like Andres Kirilenko. You know, he was like a shooting coach for Andres Kirilenko, you know,
yeah,
during growing up. And you know, obviously that guy became such a tremendous shooter, and then now, you know, he has a chance to coach Kristaps Porzingis. And I mean, that guy, you know, a rookie, this guy's 7'3" and he has like impressive shooting. He moves well for a big guy. I mean, the sky's the limit for Porzingis, and he hasn't even reached his prime yet. So
yeah,
if you couple that with a healthy Carmelo Anthony, and hopefully they could get at least a star over here, you know, they could be a pretty good team. Obviously, they're gonna go after a point guard, you know, either a veteran or a very quick point guard, you know. So we'll see how they improve the team.
Yeah.
And lastly, WWE, AJ Styles finally turned heel. He officially joined the club, and he attacked John Cena, and now John Cena will be battling AJ Styles at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view event. And there goes a dream match right there. So,
yeah.
That looks intriguing.
Yeah, I think AJ is going to beat John Cena. I don't think WWE is going to have John Cena bury him like he's done his other opponents.
That's an interesting possibility, you know. We'll definitely find out soon enough with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the draft is coming soon. Next month, July 17th or 19th? I'm not sure. I can't remember. But as a result, for the first time ever, SmackDown is going to move to Tuesdays, and it's going to be live here from here on out. And it's going to be another draft. So it's going to be a split rosters down the middle, and it should be interesting to see. I hope they keep it one champion, you know, because if they make it two titles, it's going to water down the significance of having a title.
Yeah.
The only thing I think they should do, I mean, it did work out, you know, Daniel Bryan, Mark Henry, Booker T, trying to think of some other people who became champions, CM Punk, Rey Mysterio, you know, guys who wouldn't have become champions, you know, WWE champions. Well, obviously Booker T was never a WWE champion, but those guys were able to win championships. And as a result, even Christian won the championship that they probably wouldn't have had a shot to win the WWE title, you know. if they didn't want the world heavyweight title to prove that they could be champions in this business.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I still think they should keep it one title. Put the Intercontinental title back on Raw. Put the U.S. title exclusively on SmackDown. And have the champion and the tag team champion and the women's champion go on both shows. Make it a privilege winning the title, those aforementioned titles, and then they could go on either show. But the United States and the Intercontinental title should be separate on those on their own separate shows.
I agree.
But we'll talk more about that later. But quickly, the Jets, you know, they have a three-year deal, $36 million deal with Fitzpatrick. Apparently, Fitzpatrick is willing to sign a one-year deal, I believe it's $12 million, but apparently Jets are not putting that option on the table. Bottom line is Jets, they need to sign that guy. You know, they're a win-now team. They need a veteran to lead them to the promised land. But we'll see what they're going to do with that. You have any last words you'd like to say?
Check out my shows, iMac, Saturdays at 11. Come back here, check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturday night, Sunday morning at midnight.
Yes. Unfortunately, there won't be one next week because it'll be my birthday, so I won't be able to do that show. But the week after that, I'll be back. Thank you, but thanks again, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. I'm William Lamont. This is Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Have a good weekend.